Bidders vie for Columbia aircraft. 2007 could be the peak in the general aviation sales boom. And GA's favorite FAA funding bill is promised a veto. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 20th, 2007. Economic development officials in Central Oregon are no doubt on the edges of their seats as directors and executives of Columbia Aircraft mull over what are reported to be at least three offers to buy or take control of the company. The Ministry of Finance of Malaysia reportedly owns more than 90% of Columbia Aircraft and has been looking for buyers for quite a while. Recently, Columbia's board has been meeting to respond to three serious proposals. Each of the competitors has intriguing plans. At least one is reportedly interested more in the intellectual property and assets alone, while another would operate the company intact and greatly expand it. The biggest news so far is the report that Cessna corporate parent Textron is a bidder. One industry observer predicted, quote, "It would seem unlikely that Textron would keep Columbia in Oregon. And if Cessna is the focal point of this action, then their labor agreements may even force them to bring everything back to Kansas. The biggest question is whether Textron would be interested in Columbia as a standalone company, as a part of Cessna itself, or as an asset acquisition that may result in the cessation of production in its current form," unquote. Buying a competitor just to put it out of business is not unheard of, but obviously an ugly thing to ponder if you're a government depending on a tax base in Bend, Oregon. We expect to know more by the NBAA convention next week, but one Columbia insider says the decision could even come sooner. If that were to happen, it would be arguably the fastest decision in its class. Stay tuned. In a new study titled The Market for General Aviation Utility Aircraft, 2007 through 2016, Forecast International projects that manufacturers will sell about 27,000 aircraft worth $22.55 billion over the next 9 years. The Connecticut firm excluded business jets from this study and anticipates that production of GA and utility aircraft will peak this year at 3,243 annual deliveries, then fall off gradually to a low of 2,452 in 2011, with annual production thereafter hovering in a band between 2,400 and 2,600 units for the remainder of the forecast period. Douglas Royce is an aerospace analyst at the company. Quote, "Strong economic growth led to continuous increases in production levels during the past 5 years, but this trend is unlikely to last for much longer. The general aviation market has historically been highly sensitive to economic conditions, with the segment typically being the first in the industry to suffer during a prolonged economic downturn. Slower economic growth will lead to reduced production levels in the years ahead," unquote. In a separate study, Forecast International says business jet manufacturers are enjoying a booming market for their products, spurred on by a proliferation of new aircraft models, an exodus of business travelers from scheduled airlines, and lowered barriers to access to private jet travel via jet card programs and fractional ownership arrangements. The firm projects production of just under 15,000 business jets worth $192 billion through the year 2016. General aviation advocates got some bad news on Wednesday. House Resolution 2881, the only proposal for reauthorizing the FAA without creating user fees, has been pretty much guaranteed a veto by President Bush. The two issues with the bill are what the White House feels are inadequate measures for reducing airline delays and language which would force the FAA to reopen bargaining with air traffic controllers. Dow Jones reports the Office of Management and Budget said, quote, "It would make the status quo worse by undoing progress achieved in prior Congresses," unquote. The Government Accountability Office reports the FAA is funded adequately at current levels to support its planned overhaul of the air traffic control system. But the Office of Management and Budget maintains the agency's revenues must be more closely tied to costs in order for NextGen to succeed. H.R. 2881 was approved on Tuesday by the House Ways and Means Committee and faces a full House vote on Thursday. It would still have to be reconciled with the Senate before it reached the president's desk. The FAA announced on Tuesday it has suspended a plan to consolidate Beaumont's Southeast Texas Regional Airport Terminal Radar Approach Control into its facility at Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport. The move was on a list of 50 TRACON consolidations announced in January. Texas Congressman Ted Poe and Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison had lobbied to stop the consolidation. Poe told the Port Arthur News he was pleased with the decision by the FAA. Quote, My office and the citizens of Jefferson County have repeatedly asked FAA to step back and reassess this issue. I thank all the citizens of Jefferson County who came out to the public meeting in Port Arthur last month and showed the FAA we support our airport, unquote. It's not clear how long the plan will remain suspended. The FAA still maintains it's in the best interest of the public. Up next on ANN, the nations of the world ponder an airline carbon marketplace. Cessna sells Jet Alliance even more Citation biz jets. And searchers reach a remote Colorado crash site after trying for a year. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 20th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Flack. The 190 nations which belong to the International Civil Aviation Organization have shifted rapidly toward acceptance of carbon credit trading for the airline industry. That's the assessment of Canada's Transport Minister, Lawrence Cannon, in remarks to the ICAO's 36th session of the Assembly on Tuesday. Quote, "It does not seem long ago at all that the concept of emissions trading was a radical and highly controversial idea. But look how far we've come in supporting the effectiveness of emissions trading as a general principle," unquote. ICAO President Roberto Cobe Gonzalez told reporters on Tuesday that continued growth in airline travel and congestion are complicating introduction of a carbon trading system in the industry. But Cannon called on delegates to support, quote, "continued pursuit of standards and guidance that we can all adopt," unquote. At least one ICAO official reportedly believes that such an agreement could be reached before the session ends on September 28th. Hot on the heels of a 25-plane order announced earlier this year at EBACE 2007, on Wednesday, Cessna announced that European charter operator Jet Alliance has placed an order for another 10 Citation business jets, valued at $105 million. The order includes one CJ1 Plus, two CJ2 Plus, two CJ3, three XLS Plus, and two Sovereigns. Deliveries will take place in 2009 and 2010. Jet Alliance is based in Vienna, Austria, is the third largest charter operator in Europe, and is Cessna's authorized sales rep for Russia and Eastern Europe. Cessna has now delivered more than 5,000 Citation business jets, accounting for nearly half of all business jets delivered by U.S. manufacturers. Cessna claims the title of world's largest manufacturer of general aviation airplanes, based on unit sales. More than a year after a Beech 35 C-33 Debonair crashed in the mountainous terrain near Telluride, Colorado, searchers have finally reached the wreckage. Commander Eric Berg of the San Miguel County Sheriff's Office told the Associated Press previous searches were scuttled by dangerous terrain and late spring snow. The accident claimed the lives of 25-year-old Brendan Sean Culbert of Bel Air, Texas, 26-year-old Kristen Kirkley of Dallas, 25-year-old James Flanagan of Houston, and the 27-year-old pilot Mark Dennis Cochran of Dallas. Cochran's body has never been found. County Coroner Bob Dempsey said it probably never will be due to the terrain around Wilson Peak. Most of the plane is also still at the crash site. The National Transportation Safety Board has not issued a probable cause for that accident. A lawsuit was filed this week in the case of a 2004 accident involving a Stearman biplane that claimed the life of a 39-year-old female passenger. As ANN reported, Mark Strub was at the controls of the 1941 PT-13 when it struck power lines and came to rest inverted in the Wisconsin River. Strub survived the accident, but he was not able to free passenger Kimberly Reed, who it turns out had suffered a broken neck. Strub is due to go to trial in February on a criminal charge of negligent homicide. He's now also named in a lawsuit filed this week by Kevin Reed. Among other things, the widower wants reimbursement of Kimberly Reed's medical and funeral expenses and compensation for loss of her companionship. Reed's lawsuit has a wide target. Also named are the Children's Miracle Network Committee, accused of letting Strub fly without showing proof of insurance and a commercial pilot's license, St. Joseph's Hospital, Alexander Field, Southwood County Airport, the communities of Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Port Edwards, and Domtar, several insurance companies, and Wisconsin Power and Light for allegedly failing to properly mark the power lines that were struck by the plane. Strub told local news outlets after the accident that he'd been flying about 2.5 years, had his private certificate for 2 years, and had about 300 total hours at the time of the accident. Still ahead, NASA commits to gear strut repairs on Discovery. You're invited to join the astronaut class of 2009. And an intruder from space sickened 600 in Peru. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 20th, 2007. I'm Paul Plagg. NASA tells ANN repair work is underway on a leaking hydraulic seal in Space Shuttle Discovery's right main gear strut. Shuttle managers made the decision to go ahead with the repairs during a meeting on Monday afternoon. Discovery had been scheduled to move Wednesday from its processing hangar to the vehicle assembly building to have its boosters and external fuel tank fitted for its next trip to the International Space Station. A new date for the move to the VAB will be set after technicians determine what needs to be fixed. It's not known yet if the repair will require moving Discovery's planned October 23rd launch. Managers have also decided to add an additional spacewalk, bringing the total to 5, to allow testing heat shield repair techniques. The extra spacewalk will extend the mission to 14 days. Even as NASA prepares to retire the shuttle fleet in 2010, the agency is looking for candidates for its 2009 astronaut candidate class. Applicants will be expected to fly to space, possibly to the moon or Mars, and must therefore be willing to spend long periods in flight or on the International Space Station. Other requirements include a bachelor's degree in engineering, science, or math, and 3 years of relevant professional experience, which could include teaching at levels K through 12. Typically, successful applicants have significant qualifications in engineering or science, or extensive experience flying high-performance jet aircraft. No, that does not mean you can write off your Warbird flight as an educational expense. Get your application and resume to Ellen Ochoa, NASA's Chief of Flight Crew Operations at the Johnson Space Center, who says, quote, "Continuing our impressive record in successfully carrying out challenging human spaceflight missions depends on maintaining a talented and diverse astronaut corps," unquote. NASA will accept applications through July 1, 2008. More than 600 residents of a village in Peru are reported to have been sickened by toxic fumes coming from a meteor crater. Carrancas is a village in the Andes Mountains near Peru's border with Bolivia. Area residents say a fireball struck the ground last weekend, leaving a 100-foot-wide, 20-foot-deep crater with bubbling water at the bottom. A local official was quoted as saying the gases coming from the crater were causing diarrhea, headaches, stomach pain, and vomiting. One early theory is that sulfur or other elements in a meteorite could be reacting with groundwater to produce noxious fumes. Metallurgists have been brought in to analyze the nature of the threat. And finally, Southwest Airlines has become famous for a number of things: hot pants, funny TV ads, low fares, but most of all, its cattle call boarding system. The lack of pre-assigned seats encourages Southwest flyers to check in 24 hours early from computers at home to get into the coveted A-line, then show up early at the airport to be at the front of that line for a good seat. The sprawled urban campers at Southwest airport gates often tend to look like overnight lines at concert box offices or stores debuting new video game systems. But that may be coming to an end. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly tells Reuters that Southwest has been experimenting with alternatives to open seating for a year. He also said changes might be made to provide new opportunities for revenue. But at least for now, the cattle call will remain. Let's see now. Increased revenue opportunities. I see three possibilities. One, Southwest wants to add lucrative international routes, which require assigned seats for security reasons. Two, Southwest wants to charge me an extra $50 for that aisle seat. Or three, Southwest wants to charge me an extra $100 to sit next to Kyla Ebert. Where's my wallet? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Earl Lawrence, the Experimental Aircraft Association's Vice President for Industry and Regulatory Affairs. We'll talk about the third anniversary of the sport pilot rule and what lies ahead for the light sport aircraft market. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.